guys to be seated. Wow. I'm humbled by so many familiar faces. I've known some of you guys for a long time, and I appreciate you coming. I had no idea that y'all show up. I didn't. You know, some of you, I've got people here from Wilmington, North Carolina. I got a young man sitting in this congregation that was in my Sunday school class when the Lord brought me back into fellowship. Jimmy, I appreciate you. Yeah. Butch and Kim. It's amazing. My brother Bob and Linda Sandwick. Bob and I drive a lot of miles together from time to time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, God's good people. I'm amazed. I stay amazed at what God does. He's faithful. He's faithful. John and Ruthie Baker drove me up on a mountain a couple weeks ago to marry them at daybreak in the rain. I appreciate you coming, guys. I do. You mean a lot to me. Sean, Evelyn, busy schedule. I know you're busy, but you took off this morning, and you're here. I just wanted to thank each and every one of you. I want to thank the people of Walnut Grove that are here every Sunday, that never miss a Sunday, that are keeping this old ship of Zion afloat and have for years. I'm going to preach that one of these days. We're going to transition from a cruise ship to a battleship because that's the time we're in. I see a storm on the horizon, but it don't scare me because that's what this ship is going to be built for. It's what it was made for. But that's not the sermon today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 12. Starting at the first verse. I'm afraid to put this Bible on the stand. Last time I did it, it didn't do good. So I'm going to hold it. Here the Apostle Paul is writing. Jim, we need to turn that down a little bit. I'm loud. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the house churches in Rome. And he's going to talk about a couple of things here in chapter 12 that I want to share with you folks this morning. Starting at verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this world, to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. For by grace given to me, I tell every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed the measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we are many. We are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of your faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, use it in teaching. If in exhorting, use it in exhortation. Giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before these people. I thank you for the message that you gave me this week, Lord. And I ask you to now speak through me. I have nothing of value to say to these people. I'm not above these people. I'm just your servant. And Father, I ask you to use me today. Your Holy Spirit, speak through me that we can draw closer to you, that we can work diligently in your kingdom. And someday we can lay our crowns at your feet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let me see. Today I want to speak about something that, well, let me start over. Today, this is my third message I prepared for this week. You ever had that, brother? I mean, it's just like, I had a really good one picked out. But I like to read. And I was listening to a podcast about building churches, changing churches, what's going on in the climate. And most of you know, maybe some of you don't, that we're going through a struggle right now in the North American church. We're losing market share. That's a good corporate word. We're losing our population. We're losing our attendance. We have generations coming up behind us that are not interested in what us old folks do anymore. So I've been searching on that since I had this opportunity. Now, what are we going to do? Because we're not immune to this situation. Appalachia, small country churches, rural churches, all over the United States, all over Canada, are closing. So I found a podcast by a guy from Canada, because I enjoyed that. Canada is more like, demographically, Seattle, Washington, or Boston, Massachusetts. It's not in the Bible Belt. We are. So I found this guy, Gary Newhoff, that does a podcast, and I started listening to his podcast. Then I went to his website, and he had a book called Lasting Impact. And I love to read. I read a lot of books. So I ordered it on audio, and it was so good that I said, I'm going to get the book. Because sometimes audio, you kind of, it's cool, but you kind of miss something. Seven powerful conversations that will help your church grow. I want to see Walnut Grove like this. Well, more than this. Every Sunday. I come from a lineage. I don't know if anybody's been following me on Facebook this week, but I've had hundreds and hundreds of people contact me and say, I wished I could be here. It's not because of who I am. It's not because what I do or how I do it, because this is all brand new to me. Each one of you could be standing here. It's because why I do it. It's the why. We live in a generation that could give a hoot about what we do or how we do it. That don't discount what we do and how we do it, but nobody's interested. It's not life-changing. It's why we do it. Why we do it? Why do we come here this morning? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we pray? Why do people like Bob Sandwood give up his Saturday that he normally plays golf on and goes to a prison an hour and a half away from his house and spends hours ministering to men? That's impactful to me, folks. When I see somebody sold out for Jesus Christ, that's impactful. In the final, this book, if anybody wants to read it, and I recommend every leader or want to be leader in this church, this is a good book. You can have it. I mean, you can pass it around. I'm done with it. I've marked it up. You can just read my highlights. You don't have to read the whole book. You can just read the highlights. But it's broken up into conversations. In the last conversation of this book, he talks about why. Why we do what we do. So I got into the footnotes of that, and I looked up Simon Sinek. I don't think Simon Sinek's born again. He's a TED Talk guy. I found him on TED Talk. For you old folks, that's something on YouTube. I love TED Talk. And they talk to him about why. He goes into it. And I'm going to use his illustrations. These are not mine. So if somebody calls us, I don't know who they call, but you know, I'm not plagiarizing. It's his. But I thought it was so important for me to share. You know, people aren't interested in what we do. They're not near as interested in what we do as they are why we do it. And that spoke to me. I'm a preacher's kid. I've been doing this in church. I've been sitting back here with you guys for a long time. Why do we do it? I want to talk about Samuel Pierpoint Langley. We got some aviators in the house this morning. So I'm going to talk about aviation. At the turn of the century, Samuel Pierpont Langley was the Elon Musk of the 1900, 1902, 1903. He was a forward-thinking guy. He was on the top of his game. He had a seat at Harvard. He worked for the Smithsonian Institute in D.C. Anybody here ever heard of Samuel Pierpoint Langley?
I heard of Langley Field.
Huh? Yep. That must have been his cousin. I ain't sure, but you're right. I have too. That's right. Okay. Enough of you. Just say, come on. Samuel Pierpont Langley. The War Department had given Samuel Pierpont Langley in 1903 $50,000. He was going to invent a flying machine. $50,000 in today's, that equivalent of $50,000 at the turn of the century, Brother Kurt, today's worth $1.8 million in buying power. So that's a bunch of money. The New Yorker magazine had assigned a reporter to Samuel Pierpont Langley to follow him around. So that they would be on the cutting edge, they would be able to put it in the New Yorker magazine. I guess that would be like Facebook today. I ain't sure what it's like. I don't know. I've seen the New Yorker magazine, but I don't know. But he was the man. He had the recipe for success. He had the money. He hired the best minds in the business. He had it going on. So why haven't we never heard of Samuel Pierpont Langley? Because a few hundred miles away, oh, this is good. I wish I'd have come up with this. A few hundred miles away, in a little bicycle shop, in Dayton, Ohio, was Wilbur and Orville Wright. And they had a dream. Didn't have no money. They scrounged up a little bit of money from here and there in their bicycle shop. They didn't have a college education. They didn't have the recipe for success. But they had something Samuel Pierpont Langley didn't have. They had a dream. They had a calling. They had a mission. Because they knew if they could figure out how to start man-powered flight, it would change the world. And of course, we know where we're at today. Samuel Pierpont Langley was in it for the name and the game and the fame. He was in it for a paycheck. He wasn't convinced. He wasn't convicted. He didn't have a burden for why. He just wanted his fame. He wanted to have another notch on his belt. Folks, I'm not here for a notch on my belt, and I hope no one else is. There was a difference between Orville and Wilbur Wright. On December the 3rd, 1917, manned flight happened for the first time. And the reason we haven't heard of Samuel Pierpont Langley, it was several days before that word got out. 3 or 4 days later, that word got out that they had done it in Kitty Hawk. Samuel Pierpont Langley never worked in aviation again. He had no desire. He could have went on and went with the Wright brothers and said, man, I can help you guys because I have all this money. I have this stuff. I have this big building. It's called the Smithsonian. And I'll help you guys develop this. We never heard from him again. So today, we don't know who he is. I thought that was a great example of the North American church. We have this building. We have some money coming in. This is not a church plant. But are we focused on the right things? Think about that. I thought that was a cool story. So much for notes. So why do you think that the reason we do something is so critical? Without a clear and compelling why, we become mere tradition. Empty rituals and a list of values to follow. We're not going to reach the world, folks, with business as normal. I'm all for that, but I'm a long ways down the road. I like tradition. I like doctrine. I'm not against any of that. But we're not going to reach the unchurched, the people that grew up in church, and for whatever reason, they're not here today. They're not involved in church today because we don't have a decent explanation of why we do what we do. That's what we need. When you have that burden, you have that conviction of why. What has God done for you? You know, and I fall into this category. I'm speaking to Bob as much as I'm speaking to anybody looking up here. You know, my degree of witnessing a few years ago is like, do you go to church? Where do you go to church? Well, if they didn't say anything, I may invite them to church, or I may tell them where I go to church, but that's not what I was called to do. Because Jesus Christ took a drug addict, a person that drugged him through the mud. My mother and father was a pastor of a large church in Centerville, Maryland, and what I was doing, I was dragging Jesus through the mud every week. An alcoholic and a drug addict. No concern for anything but my own pleasure. No concern. And then he's changed my life. I ran into an old guy in Denton, Maryland called Otis Cease. Jimmy knows who he is. Jimmy sat under this man for years. He's 10 years older than I am, so he's really old. And that man welcomed me into that fellowship. And he put his arms around me and he said, I want you to work in the kingdom. And you folks didn't know me back then. He said, I want you to teach our young people. This man's been all over the world. He's a Marine. He's a younger Marine than Charlie, but he's the same thing. He's cut from the same cloth as Charlie Boone. And I was able to sow into his life and his sister's life and his friends' lives. And he came today with his family. Not because of what I did or how I did it, because why I did it. Folks, if we can get this, and I'm willing to help any way I can, I'm not sure how we're going to work it out, but you know, I look back and I see Joe. Jacob yelled the same way. Jacob worked with me one summer and it changed my life. He didn't preach at me. All he wanted to do was talk about Jesus. It's life-changing, folks. It's life-changing. We have to be a church that's willing to reach out. We have to be a church that's willing to tell the truth about what it is we're doing. We have to be excited about it. There's many people sitting in here who has a similar testimony to mine. I'm not proud of my testimony. I wish I would have grown up and followed in my mom and dad's footsteps and did all that stuff, but I didn't. So I'm not giving any glory to my sin. Don't think you have to go out and do that, because I regret it every day. But I understand the why. I've got it. That's why these people came this morning. I'm not bragging on myself, but that's why they came from hundreds of miles away, because they see the why in me. When Todd McLeod first called me years ago, and he was going to book a fishing trip, I had no idea who I was talking to on the phone. And he said, "I want to ask you a few questions." And I said, "Okay." I figured he wanted to know how much it was going to cost, you know, where we were going to go fishing. You know, what kind of fishing are we going to do? He said, "I want to find out what kind of guides you have. What kind of people are going to spend time with my kids, because I'm bringing my sons. And I'm curious about what kind of conversations we're going to have." And I said, "Brother, you're not going to hear no profanity. You're not going to hear any coarse talk. You're not going to hear any off-color jokes, because that's not who we are. Every one of my guides are born-again Christians." And he said, "That's what I'm after." And he came. And he spent a mess of money with me. I'm glad. I am. I took him fishing many times. But now I'm a part of his family. I'm a part of Jen's family. I've seen Dosh grow from 8, 9 years old to a great big guy. And they're working in the kingdom. They have a nonprofit and they're giving bicycles away and they're training the little kids, how underprivileged kids, how to do things. That's the Jesus we need to share. When I met Butch and Kim in Land Harbor, he was my realtor. That's the guy, the reason I'm broke right there. The reason I have no money. It's because of Butch Phillips. Because every time some old beat up house, some old piece of junk house would show up on the market, Butch would come get me and say, "Hey man, you got to see this." Of course, when I called him with an idea, he said, "You don't want that one. You want? I got one better." It worked out. But we became brothers. He saw something in me. I invited him here. And I said, "Man, I'm going to this little church in the country. I think you'd like it." Butch grew up in church. Kim grew up in church, but that particular time, I hope you don't mind me sharing, they had walked away. And I saw in Butch, Bob, I was much younger, but I saw what they were going through. And I extended a hand of fellowship. And I didn't tell them how I was going to do it, because I didn't know. I didn't tell them what I was going to do, because I didn't know. But I knew a man. I knew a man that knew. And I had confidence in my brother here, and I knew he'd preach the gospel. And I invited him in. And I saw that old flesh fall away. It didn't happen overnight. And I saw him recommit his life to the Lord. I saw Kim recommit her heart to the God. And they started serving Jesus. Now he's a deacon at one of the coolest churches in North Carolina. The only church I've ever seen has got their own recording. The pastor's got their own recording band. Big bus sets outside of the thing, and they're on the Gaither label, and they have Jimmy Fortune and the Crab Brothers, and all these people come in and sing, and Butch is on their staff. Not because of what I did or how I did it. It's just why. Why I did it. Because I saw that life of destruction. I know what alcoholism looks like. I know what drug addiction looks like. I know what pornography looks like. We have an enemy that's going around and trying to rob us, trying to keep this church quiet. He don't care if you come. He just don't want you saying nothing to nobody. I'm going to tell you, whether you come along with me or not, I'm going to tell everybody about my Jesus. I ain't got the what and how figured out yet. We'll get into that maybe later. Our young people need something to hang on to. They need something that's different than the world has to offer. Young people need to be a leading example because there's so many young people today, like I was. I grew up in a church full of people. Hundreds of people. And I'm not blaming this. It worked out fine. God had his hand on me the whole time. But none of those men came and mentored into my life because I was a preacher's kid. They figured my dad did that. Young people are looking for leaders. Young adults are looking for leaders. Middle-aged people are looking for leaders that are different than what the world has to offer. And we've got the best information in the world. We've got the best retirement plan in the world. But it doesn't just start then. We've got the best way to live our lives in the world. I wake up in the morning and I talk to my Lord every day. And I say, God, open doors. Give me an opportunity to tell somebody today about Jesus. And here I stand. I'm not qualified. I've not been to seminary. You know, I'm like the Wright brothers trying to figure out how to fly that airplane. I don't have a college education. Matter of fact, I'm not going to go how I got my education, but I got it. Through hook and crook. I did it. I'm not qualified. But I have a burning desire to take as many people with me. When we walk into these prisons, I'm so blessed. We talk about it all the time. Bob and I talk about it all the time. It's like, man, like when I drive, it's an hour and a piece over to Mountain City, and I've only had to do it one time. Bob has done it many times by himself. It seems like it's a four-hour ride. But when you ride in the car together, it seems like we're going to Newland and back. We fellowship. We support one another. He prays for me, and I pray for him. And we're privileged to be working in the kingdom. We're privileged to be bringing souls to Jesus Christ. We're going to be rewarded with crowns to lay at our Savior's feet. And many of you are doing the same thing. I understand that there's many ministries going on. But we have to focus on why we do it. If I go forward with this, it's not going to be a program. We're going to have some amazing praise and worship. It's going to change. Because I want to grab a hold of the hem of his garment. And I want to hang on. Because there's going to be a time coming that I'm going to need it. There's going to be a time coming that when each one of you are going to need it. In Corinthians, this is like my favorite jailhouse verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. I was raised from the dead, folks. And I'll tell anybody who wants to hear about it. I was months away from dying from drug and alcohol addiction. Liver was shot. And Jesus Christ said, he's mine. He's mine. He said he'd go after that one sheep. He ran after me. He ran after me. You know why? Because he loves me. And my mama prayed. If you got children that don't know Jesus Christ, cry out to God. I don't care if they're 50 years old. If you're able to cry out to God, cry out. Because he hears your prayers. And he sent the Holy Spirit to come after me. And he did like good shepherds do. He broke my leg so I couldn't run off. He took my job. He took my career that I was at the top of my game. And he said, I got this. Get on my shoulders. And he carried me for years. And when he put me down, I can't leave him. I can't leave his side. I know what it's like to be the prodigal. When I turned for home, he come running. He pulled his robe up. He said, "That's my boy. That's my boy. I got a job for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a new creation, folks. I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn it. It's grace and grace alone in Christ alone. Bob and I talk about it. We wear that out. And I want it for everybody. I want it for everybody. So this morning, I don't care what your situation is, whether you need healing, whether the doctor has told you that you're not in the best of shape, the blood work comes back and says, "Oh, well, we got this thing. I need you to come back in." Or you want what I have. Or you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ. You've never asked him to come into your life. You're not really sure you're sure. Let's put it that way. You're not really sure. If you were to die right now, if the Lord were to return right now, you're not sure where you'd spend eternity. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm sure. And I'm not sure based on what I do. My goodness, I don't qualify. I'm secure and confident based on what Jesus Christ did. If you want to be different in your peer of influence and not just float downstream with every dead fish, if you want to stand out in a crowd, you want to be that odd guy that's, "Hey, man, you know that guy over there, you know, that woman over there, they're weird, man. They're weird. They think the Lord's getting ready to come back, and man, you ought to hear that. That guy's nuts." If you want to be that guy, come talk to me. Come talk to me. There again, I don't have the answers, but I know a man that does. And we'll pray, and we'll have a breakthrough. And we'll go on down the road. And you'll have crowns to lay at my Savior's feet. I don't believe in altar calls. I've quit doing that a long time ago. I think there's really good work done in an altar call. I'm not going to try to get anybody to stand up and raise your hand or repeat after me. I'm not into it. I think if the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, none of that's necessary. But I do want to pray with you. So after this service is over, I'll stay here all day. I'll stay here for 2 weeks. And we'll go over the Word. If you're confused, we'll get that Bible out and we'll go over it. I got it highlighted, man. I got scriptures highlighted. And it may not even be what we're talking about, but I'll read them to you. Because I'm convinced that's a supernatural book. And I live in that book. And I want everybody to feel what I feel. Everybody to have that burning desire. Why do I do what I do? That's what I want to do. And I want to do it with you folks because I love you. I want to share Jesus Christ. I want this holler, this road, this county, this town to know that Walnut Grove is about the main thing. You can call it revival. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I'm okay with that. That's cool. We don't have to even give it a title. And we may get down to where we don't have as many people next Sunday. You understand? There may not be this many people next Sunday. But my Lord and Savior did it with 11. Give me 11 that sold out for Jesus. Give me 11 that won't turn back when they see that storm on the horizon. Give me 11 that won't turn back and say, "Okay, I'm sick," or "My wife left me," or "My checkbook depleted." Give me 11 that won't stop, no matter what the enemy throws at us. And we'll change this county. Not for me, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the why. You are the reason, Lord. I can say with surety, Lord, that you raised me from the dead. And you raised each believer in here from the dead. Even though we may not have the same degree of sin, we all entered this world with sin. In the light of a perfect God, Father, we needed you. We needed salvation. But Father, I worship you this morning. Because you are a miracle worker. You are a promise keeper. As the song says, you are a light in the darkness, Father. And we need you. We need you to light us up, Father. We need you to put us in our hearts a message that we can share with others. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Father, I pray that for each one. If there's anybody here this morning that don't know you, anybody here that's struggling with life, anybody here that's struggling with anything, Lord, as this service is over, have them come to me, Lord. We've got time. As long as you tarry, I will tarry. And where you go, I will go. For such a time as this, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.